Not long ago, God's one true church was crushed by lawlessness. Learn how this happened. Prove how this spiritual catastrophe is a sign of the coming Messiah. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. Can you see a sign of the coming of the Messiah? The prophet Zechariah did talk about a specific sign that you and I could see of the coming of the Messiah, which is really going to be the greatest event ever to occur in the entire universe. So it has to be critical that you and I understand this sign. And it's there for everybody to see if they want to see it. And I don't know of anything that could be much more important than that. Now, Zerubbabel and Joshua were the leading builders of the second temple. And there with them in that project were two prophets, Zechariah and Haggai. Each one wrote a book for this end time. And they're just titled Zechariah and Haggai. But in those prophetic books, they used Zerubbabel and Joshua as real personalities in this end time about what is going to happen in this end time and the lead up to the coming of the Messiah. That's what it's all about. The key builder is Zerubbabel, and everything sort of revolves around him. But in the end time, it is somewhat different than the ancient history because there are two Joshuas, an evil Joshua or unlawful Joshua, and a lawful Joshua. And you can see that that's one difference between the ancient history and the end time fulfillment of those that type. All of that history at that time is a type of what is going to be fulfilled in this end time. And it's all leading up to the coming of the Messiah. Now you have this after the death of the, let's say, the modern Zerubbabel and the death of the unlawful Joshua, who absolutely wrecked the work of God and the synagogue of God. And then the lawful Joshua came along and was commissioned to raise up those ruins, to raise up the ruins. So all of this is a part of that sign that is going to show us when the time period, when the Messiah is going to come in just a few years span. You'll see that. So if we look at this sign, we'll see that it does unfold, and we need to see it unfolding to really have an impact, to allow it to have an impact on our minds the way it should. So let's look at the sign of the coming of the Messiah. You'll notice that this end times Zerubbabel and Joshua was prophesied in Zechariah and Haggai, and here's a comment from Haggai. You will see that there are five mentions of Joshua in Haggai. And he was loyal to God in ancient history, but one of them in the end time was very disloyal to God. And here's what it says in Haggai 1 in verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Eternal, their God. So there's a remnant. And here you have depicted a lawful Joshua. And he plays a critical role to correct that real sign of the coming of the Messiah. Now let me read to you Zechariah 3, verses 1 and 2. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Eternal, and Satan standing at the right hand to resist him. And the Eternal said unto Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. even the Eternal that has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? See, here are people, God's own people, who've been plucked out of the fire, those that can be. And God didn't condemn or castigate Joshua, but he rebuked Satan, because Satan had that kind of a hold on God's own Joshua. He was serving God at one time and departed from God and rebelled against God. So who is this man? Can we prove who he is? We certainly can. We can, and we have. You can do that, and you should do that. Now let's move on to verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel, and he answered and spoke unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused your iniquity to pass from you, and I will clothe you with a change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre or turban upon his head. So that they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Eternal stood by. So here we see that this Joshua had a government problem. His turban, that's a symbol of a government problem. And so if you look at Exodus 29 and verse 8, it says the central act of that ordination ceremony was the mitre or the turban. So we have a problem with Joshua, and he had this pointed out to him and had a chance to repent, but he did not. He did not repent. Notice verses 6 and 7. He failed to follow Zerubbabel's example, and so he is corrected here in these verses, 6 and 7. And the angel of the Eternal protested unto Joshua, saying, thus says the Eternal of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my charge, then you shall also judge my house, and shall also keep my courts, and I will give you places to walk among these that stand by. So, again, he had a wonderful chance to repent. God is very merciful. And he said, if you do this, and if you do that, this is to a definite person that was on this earth. He was wrecked by rebelling against God and really having a close relationship with Satan, the devil. He wrecked the synagogue of God, the work of God, in this end time. Why did he do that, and how did that happen? Well, it says in that verse also, the Eternal has chosen Jerusalem. He lost this vision about Jerusalem. He lost that vision, and Satan conquered him and did great damage to the work of God. Now, where did that happen? Do you know where it happened? Do you know who did it? It is, after all, end time prophecy, and we can't understand end time prophecy if we don't know who these personalities are. We can't understand it. And you see it all unfolding right here in these two prophetic books that are for this end time, the time that you and I are living in right now. That's how critical this is. It's a sign right here what happened to Joshua and his fellows. Notice it mentions his fellows. And verse 8, and I'll read this to you. Verse 8 reads this way. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your fellows, or your pastors, it could read, that sit before you, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. Now notice that. He's going to bring forth the branch, capital B. That's the Messiah. In all of this prophecy being fulfilled, it's going to culminate in the coming of the Messiah. It's going to lead up to the coming of the Messiah. And it says they are men wondered at, but that really reads in the Hebrew, men of sign, or it could be men of a wondrous sign. Wondrous sign. the coming of the Messiah, these men and their rebellion against God and His work and His church are the sign that the Messiah is going to come very shortly, and you can just step by step follow events, and it leading right into the coming of the Messiah. That's amazing prophecy. Just unbelievable, unless you really trust God. But that branch is the Messiah. And here's the sign. And a group of people, well, you know who are those fellows of Joshua? It says Joshua and his fellows, not God's fellows or God's pastors, they were looking to Joshua. And Joshua led them in the way of the devil. He's very much alive. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 will certainly make that clear to anybody. But here, this is all happening just before the coming of the Messiah. And verse 9 says, "For behold, the stone," that's a type of the Messiah, "that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the engraving thereof, says the Eternal of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day." What a wonderful event. He's just going to wipe out the iniquity of this whole world in a day. What power. What a wonderful blessing this is. And it's just hard to fathom what this means in depth. And yet we can understand it and must really get this vision in our minds, or we're going to rebel like the unlawful Joshua. Zechariah 4 and verse 2 talks about the candlestick of gold and the seven lamps and all of that, where, in other words, these are lamps. God gives us a lamp that we can see. We understand what happens if we go to God and let Him show us what's going on in this world. What does it all mean? That can mean, it means to make a field shine, to make the world shine in a powerful way, even though it's a small flock, a little remnant. But what a powerful message, and what power of God they have to deliver that message. In that ancient temple, that lamp burned continually. And we have promises that it's going to be burning continually in this end time. Many prophecies tell you that. Talks about the two olive trees, which represents God. And then we're going down a little further, and there's a Zerubbabel inset. Now, you need to understand what that is, because it too is a part of this sign. Here's how they should correct this evil that they're committing and get back to God. And it shows how they are off track. Let me just read you a little bit about the inset. This is from one of my own booklets. Zerubbabel is not an active part of the story flow. The story flow would be much better if you skipped the inset, which includes verses 6 through 9 and two-thirds of verse 10 of Zechariah 4. An inset is an insertion that is added later by editors after the original story was written. The International Critical Commentary and few others even put this inset in another section of Zechariah. They shouldn't do that. The men who canonized the Bible and were commissioned by God to do so were the ones that had the authority to put it where it ought to be. But men today think they can have their own solution, and they just confuse people about God's Word. Now Anchor Bible Commentary says that the Zerubbabel inset is not extraneous to understanding the whole. In other words, you need that inset to understand the whole picture here. Joshua and his fellows rebel against? They rebelled against the man who was the Zerubbabel type in this end time. They rebelled against him, and of course, after he died, that's when it all happened. And they turned away from what he taught. This insert is also called a glaring interruption. It is a glaring interruption. It tells you what's wrong with these men turning away from God. They're not following Zerubbabel's example. That righteous Zerubbabel, who's talked about in Zechariah and Haggai and actually many other books in the Bible. So here is this great attack by Satan the devil. And that happened just a few years ago. And here we have Zerubbabel's plummet, who measured precisely with that plummet, a measuring device. But if you turn to Haggai 2 in verse 23, I'll read this to you. Here's the counterpart of the inset of Zechariah 4. There's something in Haggai that adds to the meaning. It says, in that day always means this end time we're living in right now. It always means that. Says the Eternal of Hosts, and I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Eternal, and will make you as a signet, for I have chosen you, says the Eternal of Hosts. See, God said he would make this man a signet. Well, the dictionary defines that as something like an actual signature or a seal that carries authority if the person is not there, which Zerubbabel is not, but there is a signet that God uses, and he's going to hold us accountable for following what Zerubbabel taught, that end time Zerubbabel taught. And that's where the evil Joshua made his big, big mistake. The work today revolves around that end time Zerubbabel. But you can, this inset is really critical, and the signet with the inset shows you what to do to correct the problem. God wants to teach us how to make all of this turn out the way it should. So the signet really shows exactly where the lawful people of God are and the unlawful of people are. The lawful people follow the example and the teachings of Zerubbabel, who was the builder, and God says he finished the work. He finished it, his work. And then they came along and wrecked it, and then the Joshua work has to raise up those ruins and start and do the work again. Now, that's all there in these booklets that we have on Haggai and Zechariah. But notice, here is something really critical that you need to understand. Zechariah 4, verses 12 through 14. What does this mean? This has everything to do with correcting the problem and that sign that shows the Messiah is about to come. That we're in a short time frame here, and the Messiah is going to come to this earth. And God keeps emphasizing that throughout Zechariah chapters 3 and 4. Notice verse 12. And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, know you not what these be? And I said, well, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. I mean, this is not hidden from people. These two anointed ones stand before the entire world with God. The message goes all over the world with Zerubbabel and this end time Joshua. It's talking about those two men, the lawful Joshua, along with Zerubbabel. Now, two anointed ones. These two olive branches, they are two men in this end time that play a critical role, and you need to know who they are. After all, if we don't know who these personalities are, how can we ever understand the prophecies? We can't. This gets very specific, as I said. Zechariah and Haggai really gets precise and focused like maybe most people have never realized you can do, especially in the Bible. But this, of course, is a new revelation that God has to give to his his people. A man can't figure this out. This is not about two men. It's about what God is doing just before the Messiah comes. It's about the coming of the Messiah. The greatest event ever in the universe. Is that important? And these men, Joshua and his fellows, they are the ministers that led the people astray. Most of God's own people in this end time. How much do you know and do I know about our own Bible? We must know, or we don't know God, and we don't know his prophecies, and we don't know what's happening on this earth. We must know, or we're going to be deceived like everybody else. That is mentioned throughout your Bible. These two anointed ones, or again, the end time Zerubbabel and the end time Joshua, that was lawful. But notice you need to realize what God says here, that they stand before with God before the entire world. This is a worldwide message. Even though it's a small group of people, it's a little remnant. It is a powerful message that has gone out to this world through a Zerubbabel for well over 50 years, and then we have picked up the baton and carried on that work. But we had to raise up the ruins, as Amos 9 and verses 10 and 11 tell us. Raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen. And it fell. Why? Because of Joshua and his fellows. That rebellious Joshua who knew the truth of God and then turned away from it. Now that is not something that pleases God at all, and of course he has to condemn that. But here we have gold and oil is being poured out through into the minds of these men, revelation God gives them, and so they can understand the Bible. You can't understand the Hebrew Bible at all. In this case, the Hebrew Bible, unless God reveals it to you. It's all a matter of who reveals this. And there has to be a lot of revelation on this earth, but where is it? New revelation from God. Where is it? The prophets spoke to the people with real power, and they had messages from God. Well, the same is true in the end time. We have God's message. We have to have that. We must be delivering God's message, or, well, something's not right if we're claiming to be representatives of God. So there's only two men that have been given that gold and oil on this planet in the end time. And that goes back well over 70 years, the end time. And two men would be given the revelation from God to deliver to this world, the revelation coming directly from God. But see, the Joshua and his fellows, they despise the day of small beginnings, it should read in Zechariah 4 and verse 10, and they scorned all that. They scorned it. They didn't thank God and really give themselves to God's work. See, these unlawful men fought against God himself, and they are a sign of the Messiah coming, just as these events unfold, and you can see it before your eyes. Anybody can see it. It's out there. God says, you have to see this sign to realize you're about to enter into the coming of the Messiah. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
Not long ago, God's one true church was crushed by lawlessness. Learn how this happened. Prove how this spiritual catastrophe is a sign of the coming Messiah. The biblical book of Zechariah describes two end-time churches of God. One is doing God's work. The other has been derailed by one evil man. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, Zechariah, The Sign of Christ's Imminent Return, to understand how one tiny group stayed loyal through an avalanche of spiritual destruction. In these final days, before the return of Jesus Christ, this loyal remnant has raised the spiritual ruins and built for God continuously. God's saints have erected a majestic physical house for him, a symbol of fulfilled prophecy, proving that God's master plan always prevails. As the entire world drowns in sin and suffering, God's people submit to his government and deliver a message of endless hope. You can know where God is working today. Study Zechariah, The Sign of Christ's Imminent Return, to find out. You will also receive Gerald Fleury's free booklet, Haggai, God Has Begun to Shake the Nations. Jesus Christ is the living head of his true church. He speaks to it through new revelation. God has revealed a physical sign showing that he has started shaking the nations. He won't stop until every person on earth knows the true God. Hard times are coming, but there is a way of escape. While rebellious mankind suffers, God's very elect are going to have an inspiring, joyful experience beyond imagination, concluded by the greatest event ever to occur in the universe, the return of Jesus Christ. Only then will all nations, races, classes, and families enjoy eternal peace. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Gerald Fleury's booklets on Zechariah and Haggai. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Gerald Fleury's booklets on Zechariah and Haggai. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.